Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing? It's good to see everyone. Good to see all the folks that are here. Everybody having a good week so far? Everything is good? Good. Praise the Lord. Wow. I'm going to have to do more music because I promised I wouldn't talk more than 20 minutes. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Thank you guys for coming out. I know we're just getting started with our Saturday evening services, but God wants to do some things in our lives, amen? And coming out and being part of what God is doing, you're making a declaration, you know, that you're willing and you want to learn. How many know that God has a plan for your life? I mean, he does. And how many also know that it's much easier to steer a car when it's moving, especially if you don't have power steering? But most cars have power steering now, but my first truck didn't. And to sit and try to turn a wheel without moving, it's difficult. But God gives you direction as you're moving. And so I don't have all the answers, but I know what God has spoken to my heart about this service and what we're doing here at the church. And I believe that there's great things that are going to be happening here at this church, but in our lives in general, all of us. God has some great plans. We're living in last days, obviously. It's, you know, like Matthew chapter 24 is coming to pass before our very eyes. But God has some big and special things for us in these last days. So if you have your Bible, tonight you can open up to... what do I want to go to first? Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Yeah, last week we had a little hiccup. I couldn't remember what verse it was because I had the wrong Bible. But my wife, thank God, she bailed me out right away. Opened up right to it after I actually watched it live, and I think there was like 12 minutes of me fumbling around. But it's all good. I don't get upset by that. While you're opening up your Bible to Mark chapter 10, I have a story I want to read to you. How many like to hear a good story? The story is called Shark Bait. Shark Bait. I didn't make it up. I wish I did, but I didn't. This is called Shark Bait. And tonight, you know what we're talking about? Going forward, these next couple services and in the next couple weeks to come, God's been really dealing with me about surrender. You know, and I said that last Saturday, but surrender is not a dirty word. It's not a weak word. It's not, this is a little loud, a little hot, but surrender is not a sign of weakness. Surrender is a sign of strength. And surrender is acknowledging that, you know what, there's someone greater than I am who has a plan specific for my life. And we want to get involved with what his plan is. Because that's surrender equals success. And how many want to be a success? We all want to be a success, and you know, success is measured in so many different ways. But you know, we can't let past failures or past setbacks or mistakes or whatever it might be, or you know, I was born on the wrong side of, or I was born on the good side of the tracks. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what we've done, where we've been, and where we're even going. God has a specific plan, and we walk in his plan and in his goodness for our life when we surrender. It starts with surrender every day on your knees and really giving God some time. That's when things change in our life. So this story kind of goes along those lines, and that's what we're going to be ministering on. But this is it's called Shark Bait. It says, during a research experiment, a marine biologist placed a shark into a large holding tank and then released several small bait fish into the tank. As you would expect, the shark quickly swam around the tank, attacked, and ate the smaller fish. The marine biologist then inserted a strong piece of clear fiberglass into the tank, creating two separate partitions. She then put the shark on one side of the fiberglass and a new set of bait fish on the other. Again, the shark quickly attacked. This time, however, the shark slammed into the fiberglass divider and bounced right off. Undeterred, the shark kept repeating this behavior every few minutes to no avail. Meanwhile, the bait fish swam around unharmed in the second partition. Eventually, about an hour into the experiment, the shark gave up. This experiment was repeated several dozen times over the next few weeks. Each time, the shark got less aggressive and made fewer attempts to attack the bait fish. until eventually the shark got tired of hitting the fiberglass divider and simply stopped attacking altogether. The marine biologist then removed the fiberglass divider, but the shark didn't attack. The shark was trained to believe a barrier existed between it and the bait fish. So the bait fish swam wherever they wished, free from harm. The moral of this story is many of us, after experiencing setbacks and failures like I was just talking about, you're covering good ground and then you fall. And then when we fall, the best thing to do is get up right then and there and not lay there. But after believe that because we were unsuccessful in the past, we will always be unsuccessful. In other words, we continue to see a barrier in our heads even when no real barrier exists. So surrender is how we remove those barriers in our life. And surrender is how we find success in Christ. And, you know, no matter what it is that we've gone through in life, no matter how many times we've messed up or we've been disobedient or we know that God is leading us a certain way, and out of fear or out of previous setbacks or previous mistakes, we allow ourselves to not push forward for whatever reason. And then, you know, it's really funny. It always seems as though the more that we stay in that spot, the more condemned we feel, the worse we feel, and it becomes a snowball effect. And before you know it, we're not really walking with God anymore because we've allowed those setbacks to overrule and overtake our life. And you know, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And we know that David messed up pretty bad. I mean, I'm venture to say that no one in this room did what David did. You know, maybe he did, I don't know. But anyway, if he did, doesn't matter. God still loves you. Just we won't turn our back on you, that's for sure. But what was it? What was it that made David a man after God's own heart? Guys, we can interject here. It's not Sunday morning. We can talk. What was it? Why did God consider David a man after his own heart? What was the...
He always repented,
didn't he? He absolutely always repented. He messed up big, but he repented big. He did. He was quick to repent. He didn't wallow in his sin and then you know how the story goes. You know, you go to church, everything's good, and then you start to mess up a little bit and you feel really rotten about it, and you still pop into church every now and then, but now you're coming less frequently. And then before you know it, you're out of church altogether. You know, and it's because sin separates us. But when we have a surrendered heart and a surrendered attitude towards God, recognizing God's purpose and his plan in our life, we'll always be right in the pocket. Even if we do mess up, even if we slip and we fall, God will look at us and say, you know what? They're a man right after my own heart. Because God's not looking for perfect people, because there is no... Jesus was the only perfect, and God, they're perfect. We're not. But he's looking for people with surrendered hearts. He's looking for people that will follow his plan, that will step out and do the things that God's called us to do. And for whatever reason, listen, the calling and the plan and the purpose of God doesn't go away. You know, we can be like Jonah and try to run from it, and the only thing that happens when we do that is we just bring more misery into our own lives. You know, because at the end of the day, God will not change his mind what he has planned for you. You know, and so surrender equals success. Where did I tell you to turn? Mark chapter 10, right? Mark chapter 10. And, verse 24. You know, I've been reading through the Gospels with this reading plan that I've been doing, and this particular scripture, they're talking about the rich man. And I really wanted to set this up with this verse of scripture because this has to do with surrender. Okay, this has to do with surrender. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 24, it says, first Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for rich people to get into the kingdom of God? This amazed them. But Jesus said again, And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Dear children, it is very hard to get into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, that term, rich person there, we equate that with just all kinds of money in the world. That's a person that has their security in natural things. And how many of us have been guilty? I've been guilty of it, where out of fear of maybe not having enough, we pursue what we think is going to fulfill us and satisfy us and provide for us. And meanwhile, we cut ourselves short from the blessings of God. So in let me tell you something. It comes to a place of surrender in your heart, of really hitting your knees and saying, you know something, God, I trust you. I give up. I just want to follow your plan for my life. I'm not worrying anymore. And so that's why Jesus gave this example. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? They asked. And Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. Then Peter began to mention, now this is where I wanted to get to. Peter began to mention all that he and the other disciples had left behind. And he said, we've given up everything to follow you, he said. And Jesus replied, this is important. I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times over, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, property with persecutions, and in the world to come, they will have eternal life. But many who seem to be important now will be the least important then, and those who are considered least here will be the greatest then. So I said that because out of fear, we don't want to give up control. And I'm not talking about throwing caution to the wind, because Proverbs talks so many verses of scripture about, you know, working and being diligent and putting your hand to the plow doing something. But I'm talking about it's a heart condition, a surrendered heart. If you have a surrendered heart, you're going to have a surrendered life to follow. It's getting on our knees and acknowledging God. Now, surrender, let go, and let God work. Surrendering your life, this is what surrendering your life means. How many are ready to surrender their life to God? That's the lifestyle that we need to live. If we ever want to find peace, our joy, our peace, our prosperity, everything that we have in life is directly connected to a relationship with God. And a relationship that is meaningful, a relationship, not just an acquaintance, but a relationship like I have with my wife, that you have with your best friend, that sisters or brothers or those kind of relationships that take work. It's not just a mere acquaintance that, hey, how you doing? How's it going? A relationship is something that you spend time on. So that's in surrender. You need to surrender to have that kind of a walk with God. So surrendering your life means this. It means following God's lead without knowing where he's sending you. Think about that for a minute. That's true surrender. And it's not, it sounds just so easy on paper to read that out. Yeah, sure, no problem. But to really walk in that, you need to begin to hit your knees every morning, like I said, and get before the Lord and give him your life completely. So following God's lead without knowing where he's sending you. Waiting for God's timing without knowing when it will come. That's surrender. Because we want it, and we want it now. We want to know, you know. You know, we order something on the computer or on your phone, and you're looking for the tracking number the next minute, you know, and I want to follow it all the way in, you know. So, but surrender is waiting for God's timing without knowing when it's going to come. Because you know what? It doesn't matter when it comes. I'm surrendered. Listen, I'm on his payroll. He's the employer. I'm the employee. God, what is your employer? What is my assignment for today? And you know what? That takes the pressure right off of you. And you know what? God wants us to approach him like that. He's our father. I mean, not like to say he's our employer, but he is our employer. We work for him. But he has assignments for us. And you know what? We want to throw our spin on it and try to make it work the way we think it's supposed to work, and we mess up the assignment. So Surrendering your life also means expecting a miracle without knowing how God will provide. Expecting a miracle without knowing how God will do it. I don't need to know how he's going to do it. There are certain things that we confess in my family, in our house, and I have no idea how it's going to happen. I don't need to know how it's going to happen. I'm just obedient to what God's word says, and I say it with my mouth, and I believe it with my heart. See, the pressure isn't on me to make it happen. That's all on him. And he has all unlimited resources, much more than I have. Number four, trusting God's purpose without understanding the circumstances. Let me ask you this one question. How many have ever decided, yes, I'm going to just surrender my heart, I'm going to do the right thing, and the minute you make that determination, it seems like all hell breaks loose, right? And we're like, what? This shouldn't be happening. God, I told you that I was going to walk right after you, and now I have all this trouble in my life? Trusting God's purpose without understanding the circumstances. You know you're surrendered to God when you rely on God to work things out instead of trying to manipulate others or force your agenda and control the situation. See, we need to honestly get to the place in our life of letting go and let God control our situation. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, it talks about how God has a hope and a future for each one of us. And I'm hammering away on this because this was a particular area in my own life that I had to finally get settled. And the minute I did, I have a peace in my life now that I've never had before, you know? And so it's really important to me, and I feel like it's a place where Christians, we need to get in general so that our life is just always surrendered. God, we can't be so set in what we're doing that we're not flexible if God all of a sudden starts moving us in another direction. You know, it's not our little plan, it's God's plan, and it's a daily thing. So we don't have to control the situation. We let go and we let God work. You don't have to always be in charge. Instead of trying harder, we need to trust God more. Turn over to Luke chapter 12. And I want to read something in there as well. How many are following me tonight? The importance of living a surrendered life. And even though there's situations that come our way and things don't seem like they're always working out the way we think they should, God is in control. God has your back and he's on your side. We just have to keep ourselves in a place that we're trusting him. And you know what? When you feel like you're at your wit's end, just get on your knees and just begin to cry out to God. Amen. He's there. That's all we have to do. Instead of trying to rack our brain, figuring it out, listen, he's your father. And he wants to wrap his arms around you. He wants to hold you. He wants to help you, you know. And in the midst of the craziest things in life, you can have peace that passes all understanding. Amen. You know, because our hope is in God Almighty. You know, and he doesn't change. He never lets us down. He never, ever, ever fails us. So Luke chapter 12, and I think this was the verse last week that I was trying to find, but I have it this time. I know what it is. Luke 12:29. And we'll start in verse 27. How many know the scripture, Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his way of doing things. You know that scripture, right? And all these things will be added unto you, right? I find that, and the reason I'm really hammering away on this, because I find a lot of people fail to really give up control in their life, not for sinful reasons, if you will, not to go live out of fear, like I was just describing. We let our present circumstances and the things that we know that we need for survival and to provide for, we let that override God's plan for our life. And you know what happens? We end up coming up short all the time. Come up short, come up frustrated, you know, and things don't end up working out anyway. When God just said, listen, give it to me. Give it to me. I know the things you need of. Seek, seek ye first. Seek my kingdom first. So he's talking about this in verse 27. It says, look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? And then he says, you have so little faith. And don't worry, verse 29, don't worry about food, what to eat and drink. Now, these verses of Scripture just are so real to me because this is where we live. You know what I mean? These are the things that concern us. For Jesus to be speaking to them about this, God understands that those are issues and those are legitimate concerns. And anybody who wouldn't be concerned about those things, there's something wrong anyway. But when our concern for those things override our surrendered heart towards God, that's when we kind of get in trouble. And that's when we start to veer off the path, we start to veer off track. And you know what? I've ministered a message here called slow fade. And it doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's a story. You know how the Eskimos used to, and someone told me, how could you, I'll tell you that anyway. It was really funny. But how Eskimos would end up killing a wolf, like in a wolf pack, you know, the wolf pack. They would take a knife and they'd bury it in the ice and they would put blood on the blade. And the wolf pack would come along and one of the wolf would start to lick the blade. Okay? I know, such an awful story, but it just illustrates such a great point. Please don't send me letters and texts. How could you talk like that? It already happened once. But so the wolf just keeps licking, and the more he licks the blade, the more blood, obviously, because he's cutting his tongue on the blade. And he just keeps going and going and going till he has no tongue or blood left. And the Eskimo wins. So that's that. But I said that because that's what happens in our life. It's a slow fade. It happens over time. When we get our eyes on our circumstances and we slowly pull back in areas, we start losing ground. And before you know it, you've got this mountain of problem in your life because we decided to allow our circumstances and our situation and our lack of what we think we need to override what God's word says. And that's why it's so important, the way we are able to stand against those kind of things. Because listen, situations, problems, they come. They do. That's life. That's just how it is. You know, when we get to heaven, we won't have to worry about those things. But now they happen. But even now, while they happen, God has given us a remedy for it. You know, we're in this world. We're not of it. God has given us the means, the ability to be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, and God provide for us. So this verse of scripture, it says, and don't worry about food, what to eat and drink. Don't worry whether God will provide it for you. These things dominate the thoughts of most people, but your Father already knows your needs. Say, God knows my needs. God absolutely knows your needs. He knows my needs. He knows that I have a family with all girls. And I got a whole lot of accessories. Okay? God knows that. And thank God he has an unlimited supply. Because I just go to him and somehow he's making it happen. He's making it happen. So, but God knows what our needs are. He understands that. He understands that we have to have food, that we have to have a roof over our head. He understands all those things. But when we pursue those things and we try to make those things happen in our own strength, guys, we screw it up big time. We really, really do. That's a strong word, but we absolutely do. And we create nothing but havoc in our life. And it takes us off the course that we're supposed to be on. Because instead of trusting God, we're trusting in our ability. And our ability is so limited. God's ability is endless, endless. And most importantly, he wants to provide it for us. But this is what he says. He says, these things dominate the thoughts of most people, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. He will give you all you need from day to day. If, say if. That's a big condition right here. Ready? Here it comes. How many want God to give them everything they need from day to day? Well, you can have that every day if, ready? Here it comes. This is surrender. If you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. That means thinking about the things of God over how we're going to buy food at ShopRite. And, you know, you don't get to that place like that. But that means, what is God's primary concern? What is God's kingdom? What does God care about mostly? Yes, he does. He cares about people. How many know somebody that does not know Christ as their Lord and their Savior? Or has never been? I do. Hundreds of people. You know what? That's God's primary concern. And when we get ourselves so consumed with that, you won't imagine how the blessings and the prosperity that you walk in. Because God will give you what you need from day to day if you make his kingdom your primary concern. But you get to that place in your life, and again, this is like more introduction. We're going to get into how we surrender. What are the things that we need to do? You know, how can we get this happening and going in our life? But that comes from surrendering your heart. And I'll tell you what, the sooner that I learn that in my life, and you know what? God is so patient. God is so merciful. He's so gracious. We would give up on each other, oh my gosh, a long time ago. You know, but God never gives up on us. And you know something? I was just sharing this with some other guy. I said, you know, we want to kick doors open to try to make things happen. God opens doors that need to be open, and he closes the ones that need to be closed. No matter what our influence we may have or think who we may know. And you know what? When you have God say that to you, it really knocks you to your knees. And you say, all right, God, I get it. And you know what? That's a place as believers, no matter what it is that we're going through, no matter where we're at in our finances, with our health, our jobs, our careers, whatever it might be, we can all live a surrendered life and have a surrendered heart. And you know what? When you begin to put that to practice in your life, you're going to find success. You know what? And you're not going to measure success as just being just only good things can happen to me. That's it. Because you're going to look at even obstacles that come, you're going to look at an obstacle as an opportunity instead of something negative or something bad. And you're going to have an opportunity to grow and be challenged. You know, Joyce Meyer always says, fear not, it's just a test. No, it's just a test. And you know what? It's not pass or fail with God. If you mess up on that test, guess what? He's got another test for you. He's got more tests. He never runs out of tests. You know? So that's all we're going to talk about tonight. I told you that was like 20 minutes or so. But I just want everyone to continue coming because we're going to get into some pretty good things and really get into how we can get this walk going. How many desire to be all that God desires for them to be? You know, I do. I want God's best in my life. But you know what? God, all he asks for, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me everything you are. I will manage your life for you. I'll manage your life. But you know what? That comes from knowing him, and you get to know him not by just coming to church on Sunday or even coming here on a Saturday night. You get to know him by getting up every morning and spending time with him and making his kingdom your primary concern. And God will begin to teach you. He'll begin to speak to you. And you know what? It'll change your life. It'll change your heart. It'll change your thinking, and your circumstances will follow. Amen? All right, guys, if you want to come up here and we'll, I don't know what we want to close with, but... Praise the Lord. I think I know everyone in here too. How many, if you're a Christian in here, raise your hand. I knew everybody's saved. If you're not sure, I'll pray for you right now. Everybody sure? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you guys for coming out. And I got to get my guitar on. Thank you. I'm just kidding. I'm not that good. Not even close. Where's my... Yeah. Oh, yes. We're doing the... we receive our offering at the end of... at the end of the service as part of our worship. You know, I say it all the time, it's kind of just something different than what we do on Sunday mornings, obviously. But if, you know, if your heart was ministered to and you believe in the work and the mission that we're doing here, then when they pass the offering bucket or the basket that goes by, put something in and God will bless you. And you know what? It takes finances to continue doing what we're doing here. But you know what? I've been confessing how much we need for this ministry to operate. And I'm telling you right now, I don't worry about how it's coming. I don't look at, but it comes. It comes, I'm telling you right now. I confess it all the time how much we need. I'm speaking it out of my mouth, and I'm not worrying about how, but God brings it in. And God will do the same thing in your life. When you give, you can do that same thing. You can speak it out of your mouth, what you need, and God will see to it that it comes for you. Amen? It's investment time. So we're investing in the kingdom, and you can be certain that this work will continue here. And we're glad that you're a part of that as well. So praise the Lord. Let's just pray, and then we'll receive that offering, and we'll play our closing song. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you that your word does not return void, but it accomplishes what it sent forth to do. And I thank you for every person who heard your heart tonight, Father, through me. And I thank you that their lives were touched, and that word, that seed has been planted into their heart, and it will continue to grow. Father, I thank you that as they water it with your word, and spending time with you, Father, that it will begin to grow. They'll have a hunger and a thirst and a desire for you, and you'll make yourself real to them. And as they give tonight, I thank you that every need of this ministry is met, and every need of every person who's participating and giving in faith tonight, that you meet all of their needs as well, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.